I want to ask you to open your Bible this morning if you have it, or grab one from under the pew or the chair there, or open up your smart devices. We're going to be in the book of Luke. We're going to spend the majority of our time there this morning, and we're just going to read the scripture of the birth of Jesus, and then we're going to basically go verse by verse and just pull it apart, pick it apart, because there's so much good stuff in there. There's about 300 sermons in there, but we'll just kind of briefly talk about some of the points there. And I love it how this morning, as I'm ministering to you, my very first official sermon as your lead pastor, when I left my previous church, Bethany Church, we were going through a series. It was called Believe. And so each topic, do I believe in the Bible? Do I believe in the church? Do I believe in the Trinity? And my very last sermon I got to preach was, do you believe in eternity? Do you believe in heaven and hell? And I thought, oh my word, are you kidding? Like, I just want to speak on something really nice. And, you know, I'm about to leave and I got to speak on like heaven and hell. And this morning as we meet together and we look at the scriptures, we think about the whole Old Testament, this whole old chunk right here is pointing towards this moment. There's 300 prophetic utterances that are pointing towards this moment that we're about to read. So as we approach the scriptures this morning, I want to approach it with reverence and awe. This is a huge moment. And we're going to try our best just to kind of navigate through a few scriptures. And I believe God will speak to us. But this isn't, you know, I would hate to say the word intense, but it's serious business. We're talking about the Savior of the world. We're talking about why we come together and why we're here. And this moment right here, it's, man, I wish I was there. It must have been a magical moment. So let's just approach it this morning, you know, just hungry for what God wants to share with us. So let me just quickly pray before we begin reading. God, this morning, we're gathered because of you. We want to hear from you, Father. We thank you that you care for us so much that you sent your son for us. That you wanted to have relationship with us. You wanted to dwell with your creation. God, in our messiness and in our confusion and in our sadness even sometimes, God, you still reached out to us. You still cared for us. And before we even cared for you, we even thought twice about you. You did something miraculous. So God, would you speak to us through your word this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in Luke chapter 1. We'll jump in the story, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who has said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be as you have said." Then the angel left her. We're going to jump over and jump into chapter 2 of Luke, starting in verse 8. The child's born, and we're just going to pick up the story here. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace to men whom have his favor rests.' When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was laying in the manger. When they had seen them, and they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. And the shepherds said what the shepherds had said to them. This is a powerful piece of scripture. I just want to kind of, again, go verse by verse here. Let's just see what that exactly entails, everything that we just read here. So we'll go back to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26 and 27. In the sixth month, God said to the angel Gabriel of Nazareth, in a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, at this particular time, there's a good chance that Mary is still a teenager. She's probably 18. That's usually when women would get married. They would get, they would be kind of in courting relationship. And I like it how Luke here, he explains himself so very clearly that he says a virgin three times. It's very important that we understand that this is a virgin birth. This is a Holy Spirit, a God divine moment. This isn't just any other birth. And Luke, being a physician, a doctor, really wanted to make that clear. He understood. He knows, you know, the birds and the bees. He knows what needs to happen. But he's saying here that this is a special moment. This is a virgin birth. And Luke is a person that wants eyewitness accounts. He's the one that's looking for the personal testimony. A lot of theologians believe that he actually has interviewed Mary, and that the first two chapters that we read here are actually Mary's personal testimony of this event. So Luke wanted to be really, really clear on this moment. This is a whole sermon right there about the virgin birth, but we'll just, again, gently look at it. The very next piece of scripture, verse 27 and 28, says, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, I love thinking about Mary. If you've seen the videos and all those kind of YouTube events, she was young, she's poor. And back in the day, now, this is not culture today, but back in the day, female, that was, you know, you're just not highly favored in a sense. All the characteristics to the people of her day that would make her seem unusable by God. You know, this was somebody that just had nothing to offer or bring to the table. And God thought, in his wisdom, he thought, let's find like some poor person. Let's find somebody that's really, you know, unusable and young. And let's use that person to do this miraculous thing. And again, in my wisdom as God, I'd be like, okay, let's find the greatest king and the greatest palace and this amazing individual who's just so charismatic and really good with his words and a great budget. You know, that's the kind of person I would probably want to choose to do this amazing event, not some lowly woman that's poor and young and doesn't have anything to offer. And have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like when God asks you to do something, you're thinking like, God, I'm like the last person on the planet you should probably be asking. Do you know what I was thinking about last night? Or do you know my past? Or do you know my family history? Or any kind of angle that the enemy is trying to play on you, you would say, I'm not even worthy of any of this. But God, he just loves his people. He loves individuals, and he loves to use them. We're going to see that again and again and again as we read the scripture, that God uses the people that you would think the least of. God uses the people that are on the outside, and God uses them to bring glory to his name. Let's continue reading in verse 30 and 31. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus." Now, God's favor is great. You're thinking, wow, this is great. She's going to, you know, it's the favor of the Lord's upon her. Think about what happens next for her. When God asks you to do something, do you ever start thinking about, okay, God, if I do that, it's going to affect this. And I might get a response, and I might not be so popular. Because if you think about Mary, her peers, they probably ridiculed her. She was pregnant outside of wedlock. That's a problem. That is a huge problem. Her fiancé probably came really close to leaving her, the scriptures say. He said, "You're what? you know, I know where I've been and where you've been, but this is a problem. Her father could have disowned her, and she would have had to become a begging, you know, outside of temples or even put into prostitution because she would have nobody to provide for her anymore. And then to know, too, that her son would be rejected and murdered and hung on a cross. Wow, that's the favor of the Lord. Thank you, God. Sign me up, Jack. You know, you're thinking like, I don't know if I want that. You're thinking, that sounds like the favor of the Lord. Yes, please. And then like, oh, it comes with all that? Not sure if I want that. But would you agree with me this morning that in the times where you said, yes, Lord, may have been difficult, may have been hard, but in the long run, it's been a total blessing. And you wouldn't change it for the world. And we see Mary do the same thing here, say yes to God. Yes, it was difficult. It wasn't without pain, but it was one of the greatest things that have ever happened. Is that for you this morning? You're going to be obedient to God. I don't know how your 2018 was. I just got here, and earlier this year, my grandmother... So both my grandparents live in Kamloops, B.C., and why did I say B.C.? That doesn't make any sense. Like, when I was in Whitehorse, I had to say B.C. because they didn't know where anything was in the Lower Mainland. We only know where Anchorage was because I was Alaska. That's about it. So anyways, my grandparents lived in Kamloops, and my grandmother has been suffering with dementia for quite a few years, and unfortunately, she lost her fight with that this spring. And that's tough. And, you know, my grandfather's 91. He's awesome. I love him. He visits the kids. And so in that moment, that's tough, right? And there's tough things that come our way every day. I can't promise you that 2019 is going to be the most amazing year, although that's kind of our vision for this church. But there's going to be tough times. There's going to be some pain. Okay, everyone's kind of, I don't know if you're agreeing with me or, you know, what that one was, but amen. Okay, there we go. There's just reality. And reality is there's tough times sometimes. But how does the whole year look? And how does your journey look with the Lord since you gave your life to Christ? It's been awesome. It's been the best thing. I remember thinking back for the first 23 years of my life without Christ, even my best day there, you would often hear this, even my worst day serving Christ, way better than that kind of a lifestyle without Christ. We need Christ. We need baby Jesus in our lives. Amen? Okay, let's continue on. Luke 1, verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. What a powerful name. We think back to the Old Testament, and we read it, and it was written, in a sense, in Hebrew. And Jesus is another name, or the original writing of Joshua. And if we looked into the book of Joshua, we don't have time this morning, but what did Joshua do? Who did he lead? He led all of God's people, all of Israel, out of the wilderness into the promised land, didn't he? And Joshua means that the Lord saves. Joshua was put in a position to save God's people. And as we read it here, Jesus is given the name the Lord saves. So what a powerful name it is. And in a sense, Jesus is leading us somewhere. He's leading God's people into eternity, into heaven forever. That's the best Christmas gift ever. I don't know if I need anything else besides that. I'm really looking at a big screen TV, I gotta be honest with you. But forget all that jazz. We're talking about eternity. And sometimes I just forget about the idea that we don't really pass away anymore. When you accept Christ into your life, you are now, in a sense, immortal or eternal. Our physical bodies, man, they're breaking down fast. Is anybody in agreement there? Wow, it's like, come on, Lord, just a few more years here. But we know where we're going to end up. And it doesn't stop ever. And sometimes even when we don't see each other for a long time or we're visiting, we're going to get to see each other forever. For eternity together. So when we think about that God is going to lead us into eternity to be with him. That's all he wants. He just wants a family. He just wants a relationship. He just wants to be with you. He loves you. And he gave it all up just so that we could have that, so that he could have that. He could have you and I up there to be with him. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. This is a fulfillment of Scripture, and it comes out of the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, and verse 16. It says here, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me, and your throne will be established forever." So the prophet Nathanael at the time is giving a word to King David that your throne will be established and will be forever. So as we read it here, it is being fulfilled because Jesus is in David's bloodline and that his kingdom will continue forever and into eternity. So David was promised that he would have descendants and that his kingdom would continue for a long time on the planet Earth. But then Jesus arrives, his great, 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 great something, and says that your kingdom will not only won't end here on planet Earth, but it will also continue into heaven, into eternity. So it's a prophetic utterance, a prophetic word in the Old Testament, and it gets fulfilled right here. It's important to know that. Verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Last night as I was preparing, I was hanging out here in my office, and Chris, wherever you are, he was just getting the sanctuary ready and everything ready, so I appreciate him doing that and just setting everything up. And I was just reading through the scripture again, just, you know, kind of meditating on the sermon and reminding myself of what I wanted to say. And it just jumped out at me, just kind of slapped me in the face, how much Mary actually said in the Bible, in this story right here. So I'll just read it. Here's all she said. "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And if we jumped forward to verse 34, this is her response. "How will this be because I'm a virgin?" She's asking a question. And her response to a tough question is this: "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." That's all she said. I always have a lot to say to God when he asks me to do something. I was questioning him. "Are you sure? Maybe give me a sign. You know, maybe, Lord, I'm just going to sleep on that. And then, you know, if I wake up, it's still there, then it must be from you," or whatever that looks like, right? And Mary just responds in a completely different way. I don't see too many people even in the Bible that respond that way. If you remember the last time God's angel Gabriel showed up and asked people or was sharing with them, he shared with Abraham's wife, Sarah, who was, you know, in her old age. He said, "You will have a child." And do you remember what her response was? Exactly. "Are you kidding me? Have you seen this thing? Like, I'm about to be with you. This thing ain't producing anymore. Like, we're done." That's her response. And even Zechariah, you know, he doubted. God was speaking. He said, "You know, your wife will have a child in the old age as well." And he doubted God. I wonder my personal response when God asks, you know, some serious things that seem to us impossible. A virgin birth? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Somebody having children in their old age, that just is physically impossible. It just doesn't work anymore. What's my response to when God asks me a tough question or asks me to do something difficult? Do I respond like Mary? What a wonderful example to us, eh? What a great example. Young, poor, uneducated, and again, really gently, and just because back in the day, female, and responded with that kind of a response, that challenges me. I am educated. I got a nice suit, you know. I got a great fan, like, and I don't respond that well sometimes. So it really helps me to understand that we just need to be obedient to God. And Mary could have lost it all. We talked about that just a minute ago. If Joseph didn't marry her, She probably, back in the day, what would happen is she would just be unmarried for life. That just is what would happen if they, you know, was pregnant outside of marriage. And I think about the bottom line. Okay, God, you want me to do this thing? And I start thinking about, okay, you know, the bottom line. I'll just share a quick story with you this morning. Before I moved here, we realized that we got to drive quite a few vehicles down the highway. We had a U-Haul truck, and we had our minivan with our family, and then I had a car that I would just kind of, you know, get back and forth to work. So we decided to sell the car off. And I actually sold it for more than I bought it for. I thought, praise the Lord, look at that. Usually buy a vehicle and just like, it just goes down in price, right? So when I sold it to the individual, though, he walked in my house and he gave me a number and I said, okay, you know, I was trying to negotiate, right? And I thought, I can play this game. And he gave me a number and then I gave him a number and then we kind of just met in the middle somewhere and that was the number. And I remember holding that money and God was like, I want you to give some of it back to that gentleman who bought the car. I said, hey, what? I like this money, you know? It's a lot of money here. And God, and I started questioning. I said, I don't even know if this, it was a young kid, it was his first vehicle. And I remember asking God, I said, I don't even know if he loves Jesus. You know, like, if I give money to that guy, what is he going to do with it? He's going to go party or something, right? He doesn't care. It's your money, God. You don't want to invest it like that. Like, I'm like, just like coming up with my angles, right, of like making sure I don't have to give this kid the money. So I this is what I did, honestly, just being really honest. Because I'm not a Mary. I don't know why I should be, right? I took that money and I said, God, I'm leaving in a few days. If I run into this kid, I'll give him the money. I put it in my wallet. Put it, you know, I just went downtown to Walmart. Who drives by? Like in slow motion, my car's going. Like, are you kidding me? No, you know. But I was excited, I don't know. So then I'm like, well, he's driving by. I can't, like, jump out. Like, there he goes. And then he pulls in to the McDonald's drive-thru. I'm like, oh, my word. I get out of the vehicle like an idiot, go in the McDonald's drive-thru, like, walking in the McDonald's drive-thru, like they're going to take my order. And I go up to the door. I'm like, hi. You know, this kid's like, "What? You know, okay, what are you doing here? I'm like, is the car good? Yeah, yeah. So you don't even know this yet. And I didn't tell him beforehand. I'm like, I'm a pastor, and I love Jesus, and I feel like God is telling me to give you some of the money back, and I want to give it to you, and I don't know what that means to you or where that lands, but here's the money back. And the kid's just like, are you sure? Like, he's probably thinking, what's wrong with this guy? He's giving me the money back? And I just felt like it was the right thing to do, and I don't know where that lands with this kid. I don't even know his future. I don't know where what his journey or his story is. I'm not telling you to just go start throwing money away. Please don't do that. Just, anyways. But I just wanted to be obedient, even though it was really, really difficult to do that. I kind of like my money when I make money. So anyways, I shared that with you to just share with you how foolish I am sometimes, but somebody said to me one time when I came down here, they said, you don't know the seeds that you've sown yet, and you don't know when they'll come to fruition. I wonder where that seed's going to land. I wonder what will happen to that kid's life as he tells his friends. I remember that joker, I bought this car off, he gave me some of the money back, and like just what that would mean to them and their family. I don't know. I don't know where he was at in his life, if he was lost or wondering or looking for some direction in his life, and I don't know what will happen, but I don't want to miss those times. So even if it looks crazy and it costs you some money, just, you know, be obedient, okay? Amen. Okay. Let's move on to chapter 2 here. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I just wanted to highlight that, and I think Ken even had mentioned it last week, that you're thinking about the King of Kings is about to be born. And I'm thinking about, you know, here locally, maybe we could kind of resonate with this. Like, I'm thinking, okay, like a hotel in like the penthouse or like the honeymoon suite or some glorious palace is where you think you would want the King of Kings to be born. But we find him being born where there's the hotel is booked. You know, everything is booked. And you're like, here's my garage or something, right? I don't know what you would have to offer. I'm kind of putting it in today's terms. So they're outside. It's dirty. It's maybe even smells like gas because it's the garage or whatever it looks like. Whatever that environment you need to picture for yourself, just think of a dirty, gross, you know, place that you just wouldn't want anything to be born or at least even, you know, remotely. And our God was born in that kind of an environment. And I think, to me, it speaks of the reality that anyone could come in. That you didn't need a VIP pass, or you didn't need to be somebody of, you know, wealth or prestige or education, that anybody could just walk right in and encounter Christ. And if you think about the Magi, as they traveled from so far, I don't know your story, and I don't know how far you've had to come to find Christ, but thank God that you found him, and thank God that he's available, and thank God that he's not hiding like, oh, where's Jesus? You know, everyone, we got to go looking for him. It's easily accessible to get to him. And if I think about the journey that the Magi went on as well, what's your journey like? How long have you been without Christ? And thank God for that journey because it taught you something along the way. But now that you went on that journey and you found him, don't ever let him go. Stay the course. Be all in and be obedient even when it looks scary and it might cost you a few bucks. Just be all in. Continuing in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Again, looking at the people. Okay, I'm going to send baby Jesus down there, and let's get some people to be eyewitnesses. Shepherds? What? You know, in the culture of that day, shepherds were often held in contempt. They were excluded from mainstream society, often even spoken of as unclean, not even able to come into the city. And these are the kind of people that God was like, that would be a great way to do business. I know, let's get some advertising going. Let's use these shepherds that nobody really even cares about, that live outside the city, and we don't have any relationship or any conversation with. This is a great business strategy, amen? Thinking, oh yeah, that's great. Whose idea was that, you would probably consider? And if you think about back in the day, we'll go back to 1 Samuel, because again, it's a prophetic word here that gets fulfilled when this happens. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. We pick up King David again, being selected to become king. And this is who King David was. What a great guy, you know. What a home run pick, you're thinking. But here, let's read about him in verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And all these sons came by in front of the person who was about to select the king. They said, nope, 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 all these brothers are useless. But here in verse 11 is here somewhere. So he asked Jesse, are these all your sons you have? And then he's like, oh yeah, I almost forgot. They're still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. He's a shepherd boy. Why would we ever pick that guy? And God says, that's the guy. The other guys were all like macho and huge and good looking, and I don't know if they had a beard back then, but no, none of those. God was looking at his heart, and God looks at our heart this morning. He just wants an obedient, loving heart. Holy Spirit's there to be with us. And I think about the response that the shepherds gave right away. Put yourself in that story for a second. I mean, this is a great movie scene. You got the shepherds just looking after sheep. You know, they haven't seen anything cool. I mean, probably like, I guess, maybe the northern lights were out at that time, or they could see the Milky Way because they lived out of the city, so there's no light, so they look up at night. Beautiful. Love it. Stars shooting, all that kind of great stuff. But all of a sudden, there's an angel of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Woo-hoo-hoo! Like, this is a special, intense moment, right? The shepherds were witnessing this and seeing that, and they're terrified. They're freaked out. They're in fear. But then the Lord begins to speak to them and explain to them what's happening. Before you knew Christ, if you can remember that time, or as you share with people that don't know Christ, what is a typical response that people give about getting to know Christ or about the church or coming into church? What's a typical response you may have felt or thought or that you hear people say? You need to be perfect. Have you ever had this response? If I step into your church, I will catch on fire because I'm such a sinner. I used to think that. And God is saying that is the furthest thing from the truth. But it's the number one played card by Satan, by the enemy, on us, on people, right? Don't go there. You got to stay far away from there. It's scary. It's crazy. You don't want to do that. Because you and I know at some point, I don't know your story journey, as you came into the church one day or a camp or a conference or whatever your testimony is, how you came to Christ, you just came in one day and, oh my gosh, you were just broken. You just, why am I crying? Because the love of God came on you and just the enemy doesn't want that for you, doesn't want that for people. So we come in fearful and scared, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to sit at the back with my hood up, hopefully nobody notices me. Then all of a sudden the presence of God shows up and it changes your whole being. All those thoughts you had, those preconceived ideas you had, they're all wiped away. It's almost like you cry them out emotionally out of your body. So as we come here, and we look at these shepherds, freaked out, and then God says, it's going to be okay. This is a good thing. Don't be afraid. Just a couple more scriptures here. Chapter 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, this is, a whole nother sermon, but just quickly touch on these three elements. There's a Savior, and it's Christ, and he's the Lord. So he's a Savior. He comes to rescue mankind. That was his purpose, to come and rescue us. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's going to do great things in his life. And we also know that he's Lord. He's God made into flesh. He's God to come down and dwell with his people. It's really, really important to see that. Then we read in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. You know, as composers over thousands of years, they've just taken this story and written so many songs. We sung a bunch of them this morning. Some other ones that came to my mind were Hark the Herald Angels Sing. O come all ye faithful, joy to the Lord, O holy night, away in a manger, I love that one. What child is this, O little town of Bethlehem? Just to mention a few, I quickly Googled that and there was like thousands of songs that were written just based off of this small piece of scripture because it has so much impact in our lives. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in the manger. They hurried off. They didn't process and think about it and question it and, you know, confer with somebody else. They hurried off. I wonder when the last time, and I threw myself under the bus there with that story about the finances and the vehicle, but when was the last time we were just so obedient that we actually hurried to do what God asked us to do? That challenges me. Because God gave so much. And when God speaks to us and his Holy Spirit speaks to us, we should be so thankful for that. That, oh, I'm actually attentive to the presence of God and I'm hearing from the voice of God. And then out of that, let's pray for each other that we would hurry, that we would do it. We'd be obedient to whatever he's calling us to do, whether it's serving or giving or loving or giving something up or whatever that looks like. Let's just be obedient because we don't want to silence the Spirit of God, do we? So would we hurry to that? Verse 17 and 18. Then we're going to wrap it up. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I love scripture. Think about that. What I just told you about the shepherds. All who heard the shepherds were amazed. You know, if we had some person come in and all of a sudden you're listening to somebody that you know, you're like, I've heard that guy's story before. I know where he comes from. You're thinking, those shepherds are out in the hills all by themselves. Like, you're thinking, he's been outside a little bit too long. That shepherd, he's got some crazy thoughts going through his head. Like, I don't know if I would be, you know, taking those witnesses as an account. And it says that the people, again, Luke would be going to the community. He would be asking the people, hey, when those shepherds came in, tell me what happened. Tell me what they shared. And the people would tell Luke, they would say, it was amazing what they said. It was just, it must have been the voice of God speaking. You know, what they shared made so much sense. How could somebody, again, if we think about the disciples that Jesus picked, uneducated, you know, unworthy people, and God used them? It's the same way in the way God used these shepherds. Think about this. And all who heard it were amazed. All who heard these shepherds, they're probably like, man, you got to have a shower. Like, get out of my house, you know. But they were just amazed by what the shepherds had told them. So when we come and we read and we listen and we worship and we come together and we, you know, meet throughout the week and Bible study and different things, let's be amazed at what we read. Let's be challenged by what we read. Let's be encouraged to hurry because God's coming back soon. Let's continue to be faithful and to not coast. I mean, I've only been saved, what, since 2000, so my 18 years, there's been seasons, right, let's just be transparent, where I've coasted. I just thought, you know, okay, I finished that course, or I've got this degree now. I'm actually going to take a break. I went on a vacation, too. I got my degree, and then I'm like, I'm going on holidays. I took 2 weeks with my family. It was great. Okay, that's cool. I'll do that. But then when you come back, right back in the driver's seat. And that challenges me because it's a long journey that we're going to serve the Lord. And here's some great quotes here that I found online. Christmas is not a myth. It's not a tradition. It's not a dream. It's a glorious reality, is what Billy Graham had to say. A glorious reality. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. That's what C.S. Lewis said. Wonderful guy. The greatest gift you will ever receive will never be found under a Christmas tree. It is far too valuable to be stored in any other place but the depths of your heart. That there's no other gift. My sermon title this morning was Good Gift. It is a good gift. We've got a great gift. So whether you have to, you know, lots of gifts under your tree this season or you have a few gifts, you have the greatest gift. And we came here this morning to celebrate the greatest gift. And that's Jesus. So thank God for him. Amen. Let's have the worship team come up and I'll just quickly close in prayer. And God, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories of your son. And God, it happened so many years ago, but would it be reality for us this morning in this Christmas season? Would we remember and speak of and read and be reminded of the thing that you did, the greatest thing that you basically probably did for us? Lord, we're going to go on in the year to come and read different stories and be challenged in different ways, but may we resonate on this right now. May we be present in what you're trying to say and do in us right now. You know, we can be thinking about lunch and what's happening for Christmas and the gift you haven't bought yet, you need to go buy before Christmas Day. But God, help us to be present here right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here, you're speaking to us. Jesus' name, amen.